apps can do a lot of cool things. You could order dinner, gamble on your favorite team, and track your health. You could even get a mortgage. One click and you can be approved. I'm not sure by who or what country they're in. You deserve more from the mortgage industry. At AnyMac Home Mortgage, we believe in the need for live human interaction during a very complex process. The kind of service and guidance which an app simply can't provide. Our customers are more than credit scores and income documents. They're individuals and families who live in and strengthen our communities. Their story is our story, and that story begins in a home. Chris Sawyer is an expert on providing superior customer service and in meeting the mortgage needs of current and future home buyers. With over 18 years of experience in the industry, Chris is able to help customers migrate through the home buying and home financing process by using his wealth of knowledge as a well-qualified mortgage professional. And best of all, Chris is located in Cromwell, Connecticut, where he has helped hundreds of clients in Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island make their dreams of home ownership a reality. Visit chrissawyer.any-mac.com. Email him at csawyer@any-mac.com or give him a call, 860-878-8730.
Chris Sawyer, NMLS number 39345, corporate NMLS number 338923, AnyMac Home Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender, American Neighborhood Mortgage Acceptance Company, LLC, DBA, AnyMac Home Mortgage, Lo-Fi Direct, Connecticut First Mortgage Correspondent, License Lender, Broker Number, ML338923, Massachusetts Mortgage Lender and Mortgage Broker License Number, MC338923, Rhode Island License Lender, License Number 20112810L. Call for additional details.
Welcome to Sports Talk with RNJ. I'm Steve Risser, along here with Justin D'Onofrio. And last night, the Lakers beat the Pelicans. They will play the Nuggets in the first round. But last night, they beat the Pelicans 110-106. LeBron James 23-9-9. It was a close game. Lakers were really a close game early. Lakers went up by double digits at the end of the first half. Towards the end of the first half, but then the second half, the Pelicans came back. Thanks to Zion, 40 points. Zion was great last night. Zion was great, but he got hurt in the end, and the Lakers ended up pulling out in the end. The big three was 101-100, and the big three by D'Angelo Russell clinched it for him, and the Lakers clinched themselves a spot into the playoffs last night, beating the Pelicans. Justin, what were your thoughts on last night, the Lakers pulling out over the Pelicans?
The Lakers. That kind of second quarter was huge for LA. You know, the Pelicans felt like 5-6 minutes without a basket. And, they were able to outscore the Pelicans that quarter by 18 points. And, you know, I thought D'Angelo Russell had 21 last night. I thought he had a really good game where last year in the playoffs, I felt like a lot of times he really struggled to get, especially offensively. I thought he played well. And I thought Gabe Vincent had a pretty good game off the bench. I know he only scored 9 points, but I thought defensively did a pretty good job out there. All five stars for the Lakers were double-digit outputs, but, you know, I thought the Lakers did enough defensively, and I feel like for the Pelicans, the way they lost the game, they couldn't knock down threes. They had that huge scoring drought, and when you're struggling from three, like McCollum was last night, you do have a guy off the bench in Jordan Hawkins who has shown you that he can play at this level. It would be maybe smart to try to use him, but for whatever reason, he's gotten glued to the bench the last couple months, for whatever reason. But for the Lakers, you know, good win for them. And, they'll move on to play Denver coming up on Saturday night.
Yeah, you're right about Hawkins. Yeah, it was really LeBron, you know, AD stepping up at the end of that game, making big plays. It sucked for the Pelicans. They didn't have Giannis. They didn't have Zion at the end. But, yeah, but the Lakers doing what they do. I mean, LeBron doing what he does. D'Angelo Russell doing what he does at the end. Them stepping up, and now they got this big matchup with the Nuggets. And I know there was a lot of talk about should the Lakers lose this game, so they don't have to avoid the Nuggets. But I think eventually they would have to play the Nuggets anyway. So I thought all the should they lose the game talk was just complete nonsense. So I thought that was nonsense. But they got this big matchup with the Nuggets, and the big question is, I mean, we know the Nuggets are the best team in the West. But the big question is, can the Lakers, you know, push him to 6 or 7 games? I think they can push him to 6 games. I think, you know, with LeBron and AD, they've been playing really, really well. I think they can push this Nuggets team to 6 games. Because last year, a lot of those games were close. A lot of those games were close in that series. And I think this Laker team with LeBron, I definitely don't think they're going to win this series. But I think they could push it. I wouldn't be surprised if they push it to 6 or 7 games.
Yeah, I think they potentially can push it. They could, you know, Jamal Murray's healthy the entire series. They could play the entire series. you know, I wouldn't be shocked if Nuggets win in five. It was pretty close. He just had such a hard time defending Jokic. He'd get average triple-double in that series and shot over 55% in it. So, you know, they really showed to defend him. And again, Jokic's best player in the sport right now. And, you know, he's a tough matchup for anybody. Yeah, the Lakers kept it close. I wouldn't be surprised. Like, again, they need a guy like D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves to knock down shots, Rui Hachimura to hit a couple. Like, if guys can step up around LeBron and AD, then, yeah, you know, L.A., they are improved this year from three. They don't take a ton of them, but they are improved from last year. But I wouldn't be shocked if they can get it to six, seven games. But, you know, the Nuggets definitely should win the series.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Nuggets are clearly – I think they're the best team in the NBA again. They're definitely the best team in the Western Conference. Yeah, I think it's a competitive series. I think, you know, maybe the Lakers, you know, I think they get one or two of the home games. I think if they stretch to six. I think with the way AD and LeBron are playing, they do stretch the series to six. But for this series, I'm going to go with the Nuggets in six. I just think the Nuggets are just, they're just too good. If you look at right now, Jokic is clearly better than LeBron. AD might be better than Jamal Murray, but outside of that, I mean, Michael Porter is really good. I mean, KCP and Aaron Gordon is solid too, is your fourth best player. I just think the Nuggets are too well coached. They're too good. I think the Nuggets win this series in six.
Yeah, I got the Nuggets as well. I'm going to go in five games. I think, you know, the Nuggets, I think their starting five is the best starting five in the Western Conference. I'm with you. I do think they're the best team overall, you know, in the NBA right now. I just think they're too tough of a matchup for the Lakers. I think the Lakers do still win at home, but I think the Nuggets, you know, Jamal Murray, you know, I think he kind of exposes that perimeter defense that the Lakers have at the guard spots with Vincent and Russell. And I do think the Nuggets kind of cruise in the series and take it in five games.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the Nuggets, I think the Nuggets win this one. And I think the Nuggets do. I don't think they win it in five, I think they win it in six, but I do think the Nuggets win this series and advance on to the next round. But we got to talk about your Kings, and your Kings win last night 118-94 over the Warriors, led by Keegan Murray, 32. He was hitting threes last night. You had De'Aaron Fox, 24-6. Sabonis had 16 points. So pretty much the Kings got contributions from everyone. And for the Warriors, really it was all Steph. He had 22. Klay Thompson had a donut, 0 points. But just a very, very impressive win for your Kings last night. You got to be really, really happy about the way they played last night against the Warriors.
Yeah. I went in there last night thinking they had maybe a 5% chance to win that game. I
really 5% did you see the Warriors this year? The Warriors were not that good at all this year. Really?
Yeah. The Kings haven't been playing. The Kings have not been playing well the last 2 months of the year.
They're worse than the Warriors are a lot worse. I know the Warriors beat the Kings last year, but the Warriors are definitely much worse than they were last year.
Yeah, I don't think the Kings are much better than last year either. I didn't think they were much better than they were last year. They're kind of the same. And, you know, guys stepped up. Like, and the Kings lost 7 of the last 11. They should have been the 60. They blew it. And, you know, but yeah, last night, Keegan Murray, who a lot of this offseason, he worked on his defense and offensively at times this year, he's kind of struggled and you could see it. But last night was one of his better games. He had 45. Forget who it was against right around Christmas this year. You know, he was outstanding. I thought defensively he played pretty well. I like Keon Ellis played really well. And this is a guy who really didn't play until Monk and Kevin Herter got hurt. I don't know why this guy was glued to the bench all year. But, you know, he just brought energy. He's really, really quick. Knocked down a couple of really good shots. He played well. And yeah, Fox again played really well. You know, he's been good all year. There's times where he settles for too many threes, but, you know, look, usually in the second half, the last couple of months, they've let a lot of teams back in. They've won a lot of big leads, and I kind of felt like they should have been up a lot more than four at the half last night, and they came out in the second half, and they blitzed them, and I didn't think they would come out like the way they responded, like they did last night, so good on them. But, yeah, I think that team you know, the way it ended last year in game seven, I am happy that hopefully the Warriors kind of dynasty is over and the Kings are the ones that are the one that finished them off. But yeah, you know, we'll see Friday night. They've looked awful all year against the Pelicans. Even in big moments at home, they've not played well against them. So I'm not too confident against them. But, you know, yeah, last night was good. And hopefully if they played like that, like they did last night, then yes, I think they could beat the Pelicans. But if they revert back to what they have in the last month and a half, then they might lose by 25.
Yeah. We'll see what happens there. We'll get to the Kings matchup with the Pelicans, but first we got to talk about the Warriors. We got to talk about Klay Thompson, who's going to be a free agent and scored 0 points last night. The big question is, has he played his last game with the Warriors? I think he has. I know Steph wants him back, but I think he has. I think the Warriors got to meet. You got to break this thing up. I think the Warriors got to break this thing up. Maybe try to trade Draymond. Maybe you know, we'll see what they do with Curry. But I think it's over. I think it is over for Klay Thompson with the Warriors.
Yeah, I think it's over. And I know, yeah, Curry probably wants him back. I know Steve Kerr didn't really want him to be traded, Klay Thompson, you know, around the All-Star break. But I think you have to, because you do have some young, nice pieces on that team, like Braden Perzinski, Trey Jackson Davis, you know, Jonathan Kuminga. You know, they do have some guys kind of that are younger that have shown you something. So I think it is time to move on. Maybe, yeah, you could try to trade Draymond too. But he's getting a lot of money. You might have to eat a lot of that, because I don't know how many teams are out there going to – I think he's owed like 23 a year or something like that. I don't know how many other teams
would want to pay Draymond. Yeah. That Draymond contract's a disaster for the way he's playing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he did not play well last night. And Klay is usually a guy that absolutely owns the Kings. You know, usually last night, yeah, he's bad. But I do think he's probably played his last game in Golden State. I do think it's time to move on. I do think it's time to – with the younger pieces you have, you know, give them some more run here and try to kind of, because I don't think it'd be a total rebuild, but let some of those younger guys kind of get more run here. Again, you can't trade Curry, but I do think it's the end there for Klay Thompson and Golden State.
Yeah, it is. I think it has to be. Get the younger players playing, get them more experience, maybe re-sign a Paul George and maybe get back into contention. But it has got to be it for Klay Thompson and Golden State. But we'll circle back to your Kings and their matchup with the Pelicans. And there's a good chance Zion might not play in this game. There's a good chance. You saw Ingram didn't play well. McCollum and Ingram didn't play well against the Lakers. I know the Pelicans are going to be at home, but I think your Kings – I know you think I'm probably jinxing your Kings, but I know they struggled against the Pelicans this year, but I think your Kings get it done. I think De'Aaron Fox is a big game. I think Sabonis is a big game. I think Murray plays well again. And I think there's a good chance I think Zion doesn't play. And that's been the story of Zion's career. Not being able – here's the two biggest issues of Zion Williamson. Not being able to shoot the three-point shot and not being able to stay on the court. And I don't think he's going to be there on Friday night. And I think you guys are going to advance and you guys are going to play the Thunder in the first round. I got the Kings getting the 8 seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah, nice. You got more comments than I do. I got New Orleans.
Wow. Even if Zion doesn't play.
Yeah, because Trey Murphy just had 20 against the Miller today. You know, like the size and athleticism of the Pelicans wing and forward spots, they've destroyed Sacramento. They usually just abuse whoever Harrison Barnes is guarding. They just abuse them. Even though Harrison actually played one of his better games last night, but he has not played two good games in a row all year. So I'm not anticipating him to show up Friday night like he did that entire Golden State series last year. So I just think the Pelicans are a better team. I don't even, you know, even if Zion's not there, they still beat them at one point this year, 133-100, you know? Yeah, maybe if Ingram doesn't play, you know, I know Ingram, it looks like he was on a minute restriction. He played like the final 8 minutes of that game last night. So maybe if the Kings play as well as they did last night, then yeah, they got have a great chance. I haven't seen them put two games in a row like that together in a while. And I just don't anticipate seeing it on Friday night. I just don't. I think it's mostly I'm just not buying into false hope. So maybe that's why I'm so negative on this team right now. But I think the Pelicans. I think even Zion doesn't play. Trey Murphy goes off like he did the other, like a week ago against them. He had 27, and I think Sajan McCollum bounces back because he's played really well against the Kings this year. So I get the Pelicans at home.
Here's the thing. Imagine Jordan Hawkins actually has a big game against your Kings.
Yeah, I that would be okay. Well, no, because I want the Kings to trade for him. Because we need a Malik Monk replacement next year. So I'd love Jordan Hawkins for that. I think he played one of his better games this year against the Kings. I think he did. He had 13. I think in the what was it? He had 13-9 in the in-season tournament against the Kings. So he did play well against us in one game. James Bogdanovich's career highs against the Kings. He did 28 against us.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
So, yeah, because the Hornets have been our nemesis. I think we've lost 4 of the last 5 to Charlotte.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
Shows how bad the Kings have been against them.
Yeah, so it should be interesting. Should be a really good game on Friday night between the Kings and Pelicans, and the winner will place the Oklahoma City Thunder on Sunday in the first round of the playoffs. But we got to get to the first round of the Western Conference playoffs, and we are going to start with the Suns and the T-Wolves. We got Kevin Durant against Anthony Edwards, two of the top players in the game. I think this is going to be a fun series. I think it's going to be a really good series, but I'm going to take the team with more talent. You think the Timberwolves are the team with more talent because of the 3 seed, but that's not the case. The Suns are the 6 seed, but they are the team with more talent. They got a huge win on Sunday to get into this position. And I do think the Suns win the series. I think it's a very competitive series between the two teams. I think the Minnesota's issues are going to show up in the series. I just don't think they're going to be able to score with the Suns. I don't think they're going to be able to score with Durant, Booker, and Beal. You saw Beal having 36 on Sunday against the T-Wolves. I just don't think they're going to be able to keep up with them. I don't think they're going to be able to keep up with them because, I mean, Rudy Gobert is a great defensive player, but he's not a good offensive player. Katz is just kind of coming back. Ant-Man's had a great year, great year. I think he solidified himself as a top 10 player in the league. I mean, if he wins this series, he definitely is because if he beats Kevin Durant, it'd be his first playoff series win. But I just think the Suns have a little bit more the Suns have more talent, and I think the Suns pull this out. I got the Suns winning this series in 6 games, but Justin, can Ant-Man knock out KD in the playoffs?
No, I'm with you. I got the Suns in the series in 6. The Timberwolves are the best defensive team. I love watching them play because it's the way they defend. But the Suns, you talked about it, they just got too many offensive weapons, and they have weapons to pull Rudy Gobert away from the basket, and he's not a great perimeter defender. And I just think Bradley Beal, KD, Devin Booker, they're so good at the mid-range game, but they're also above average guys from behind the three-point line. And then Grayson Allen's had a pretty good year as well. And he can shoot the basketball too. So I just think the Suns have too much offensive talent for the Timberwolves to be able to keep up in this series. Be awesome to see the Timberwolves finally get a series win, but I just think this is just a bad matchup for him. And you mentioned it too, you know, Karl Anthony Towns missed the last 18 games. You're probably going to have a rust factor there with him. And can he go right off the bat playing 30, 35 minutes, 40 minutes? Like, you know, is he on a minute restriction coming back? So I just think it's too tall of a task. And I think the Suns just have a little bit more talent. And when this team's right and healthy, when they got the big three of Beal, KD, and Booker healthy, they're a really tough team to stop and beat. They're not great defensively. But I just think the Suns got too much talent for Minnesota in this one.
You talk about all the talent the Suns have. Durant's under a ton of pressure. To do something here because the Suns, they went out and traded for him. They went out and traded for Bradley Beal. He's under a ton of pressure. I think, yeah, and I know Edwards is under pressure too because he hasn't won a playoff series, but still, there's a lot of pressure on Durant. I just think with all the pressure on him, I think he responds. I think he gets it done.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Yeah, you know, this is a huge year for KD, and with that roster that they built with Beal and Booker, they got to get one done. You know, KD needs to get another ring with another team to really, you know, to really get that kind of all the pressure off of him, and that he's got to kind of be the guy to win it for him to be the guy to win a team championship. He really needs that, and yeah, you know. Again, that Nets one a couple years ago was a tough one in Game 7. This is big because, yeah, he got out of Brooklyn and he went down there to Phoenix. And last year, I know with the injuries, they just didn't have the depth last year. And this year they added another guy like Bradley Beal. So, yeah, it's definitely a huge year for Kevin Durant to really, it's going to be tough and the Western Conference is loaded. But, he's got to make a run with the team.
Absolutely. I mean, his legacy right now is he hasn't won a ring without Steph Curry. I know he was the MVP of both those finals in 2017 and 2018, but he's not won a ring without Steph Curry. So that's his legacy. That's why it's huge for him to make a run this year in the postseason. It's going to be a tough matchup. If they beat the T-Wolves, it's probably going to be a tough matchup with the Nuggets, but this is definitely a postseason that Durant has got to come up big for the Suns. But we will talk about the 4-5 matchup in the Western Conference, and that's between the Mavs and the Clippers. And the Clippers, when Kawhi – and now we don't know if Kawhi is going to be healthy. He's been he's been banged up for the Clippers, but the Clippers have kind of been the kryptonite to the Mavs in the postseason. Remember back in 2021 when Luka hit that big shot in the bubble, Clippers beat him in six. We remember back in that, no, that was 2020. My bad. 2020 when the Clippers beat him in six. Then in 2021, which is one of the weirdest series ever, the road team won all six games, and then the Clippers won game seven. Kawhi had that 40-point game in game six against the Mavs, and then the Clippers won game seven. So this team has definitely been the kryptonite for the Mavs, eliminating them in 2021, eliminating them in 2020. But I think this year, though, the Mavs get over the hump because of how great Luka is. There was always this debate. We knew in 2020, you knew Kawhi was probably better than Luka. 2020, 2021, it was close, but you probably gave Luka maybe the slight edge. Right now, though, Luka, because of the injuries with Kawhi, Luka is clearly the better player. And I think that's going to make a difference in the series. I think he's going to have a big, big series for the Mavs. I think he gets a lot of guys involved, and I think the Mavs win this, and I got him winning in six. I got him winning this series in six games over the Clippers, but it should be a really good series.
Yeah. I'm with you. I got the Mavericks winning this one as well in six games. Yeah. You know, the Mavericks, they came out of the All-Star break, went like 16-2. I know it's kind of down the stretch, you know, come back down to earth here, but they played the Kings in back-to-back in mid-March, and I was really impressed with the way Dallas defensively was playing, and that's really been the story for them. They're really starting to play a lot better in the second half, especially on the defensive end of the floor. And Luka, you know, Luka's still not a great defender, you know, but the guys around him are kind of good enough as well. And, you know, Kyrie, he's kind of got that guy next to him that could help him. I know he had Jalen Brunson as well, but you know, Tim Hardaway Jr. is a pretty nice player, you know, as well. But yeah, and for the Clippers, they started to play well they kind of came out. I think it was like in January, and it looked like they really figured it out, the James Harden connection and all that. But they've come back down to earth as well. And yeah, if Kawhi is banged up, I still think the Clippers have a fighting chance in this one. But I just think the way Luka's playing, then you got a guy like Kyrie Irving that's playing next to him. I think, you know, if Luka can get a switch and he can either get James Harden or Zubac to guard him, I just think Luka's going to eat one of those two up, and I think he'll go off. So I do think the Mavericks finally get over the hump and do knock out the Clippers in the series.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Mavericks win. And yeah, as much as you want to hate Kyrie Irving, and yes, he cannot be a number one if you want to win a championship, he is a great number two. He is, as much as I can't stand Kyrie, he is a great number two. And I think he's going to help Luka. I think Luka will have a big series, but I think he's going to have a big series as well. And that's why I think the Mavs advance on to the second round. And let me tell you, I wouldn't be surprised if we're seeing the Mavs playing the conference finals against the Nuggets.
Yeah, no, No, is this the 5-4?
This is the 4-5.
They would play the Nuggets right in the semis. They'd have to play the Nuggets.
They play. The Nuggets are the two. The Thunder are the one.
I thought the Nuggets were the one. Oh yeah, they're the two. Yeah, my bad. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah,
that wouldn't.
Yeah, you always think the Nuggets in your head, because they've been clearly the best team in the Western Conference, are the number one seed. But yes, the Thunder did get the one seed. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's going to matter at the end of the day. But yeah, there definitely is a chance that the Mavericks could face the Nuggets in the conference finals with the way Luka's been playing this year.
Yeah, I forgot. The Nuggets are the two. Yeah, that's my bad on my part there. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. The way Luka's playing, when I saw them play the Kings there about a month ago, I was really impressed with the way he played, with the way Kyrie, he's been drama free this year. You know, he has not, you know, as far as I know, I haven't really heard his name much in the news bringing up drama. So yeah, you know, if he can stay on the floor like he has been most of the season, then yeah, that Mavericks seems dangerous, especially the way they've started to really defend. And, you know, Jason Kidd's not a great coach, but you know, I think he's done a pretty nice job with this roster. I think he's gotten better as head coach. And yeah, this is a team that could be very dangerous. And I would not be shocked to see them play Denver in the Western Conference Finals.
Not at all. Should be a really good series between the Mavs and the Clippers. But we are going to head to the Eastern Conference. We got a big one tonight. We got the first playing game between the Heat and the Sixers. The 8-seeded Heat, the defending Eastern Conference champs, take on the Sixers with Joel Embiid back. And I think this is going to be a really close competitive game between these two teams. You know, playoff Jimmy's going to be ready to go. You know, Bam's going to have a pretty good game. But I just think Embiid, I know he's not fully 100%, but the Sixers have not lost since he's came back. And I think that's going to happen because I think him and Maxey have big games. And I got the Sixers heading to the Garden on Saturday night to face the Knicks. I think the Sixers win. But, Justin, can the Heat continue their playoff success?
No, I'm with you. I think the Sixers get them. There's something all about this Heat team. It doesn't seem like they've totally gelled this year. I know the Heat in the playoffs could really turn it on, but I don't think this is the year that they can do it. Yeah, you know, Embiid, he's looked pretty good since coming back, you know, from that injury. And the Sixers have been playing really, really well, really good basketball. And if they can get guys like Buddy Hield and Cameron Payne off the bench to knock down shots like they have, I do think the Sixers could be a tough out in the playoffs. And, you know, that Sixers-Knicks series would be a good one. There's just something about the Heat team this year that I wouldn't, you know, again, I wouldn't be surprised the Heat go on a run, but I just don't think this is a year for it. And I do think the Sixers do knock them off tonight and move on and go to New York for Saturday.
Yeah, and the big question is for the Knicks, who would the Knicks rather play in the first round, the Heat or the Sixers? And I'm going to go with the Sixers. I'm going to go with the Sixers because the Sixers in the playoffs, Embiid in the playoffs has just not been good. Embiid in the playoffs is not what he is in the regular season, and he's not 100%. As a Knicks fan, I don't want to see the Heat. I don't want to see the Heat again. The Heat knocked him out last year. I mean, they have Tyler Hero this year. I know they haven't gelled as well, but they got Tyler Hero this year. They got Butler and they got Bam. Rozier's out, but they could have Rozier too. So I just don't want to see the Heat. I'm gonna go with the Sixers because you've seen the history of Joel Embiid in the playoffs. 2018, getting swept. Even when they had Jimmy Butler, even when Embiid had playoff Jimmy on his team, he loses in five to the Raptors on Kawhi's buzzer beater. 2020, they get swept to the South. They get swept to the Celtics again. 2021, they lose to the Atlanta Hawks and don't get to the conference finals. 2022, they lose to the Heat in the conference semis. Then last year, they were up 3-2, had a chance to close it at the Celtics on their home floor, and they couldn't do it. So I'm saying I'd rather play the Sixers. I want to play. I know. I think both series are going to go. I think six or seven games. Like either team would go six or seven. But as a Knicks fan, I want to play the Sixers.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the Heat haven't been the same team, but yeah, the Sixers, they've been choking the playoffs. I know they brought in Nick Nurse and they got rid of Doc Rivers, and that is an upgrade. But yeah, you mentioned Embiid not being 100%, and beating the playoffs, conditioning is always a concern for him. And now he's just coming back. You think that's going to be something too? The Knicks are starting to get a little bit healthy too with Mitchell Robinson. So, you know,
Randall's obviously going to be a loss, but it gives, you know, guys like DiVincenzo and Josh Hart more opportunities.
Yeah. And again, Jalen Brunson is a star, and I think I'd rather have him be your number one than Randall.
Without question. You saw what happened when the Knicks had Randall's their number one. They lost in five to the Hawks.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Jalen Brunson, he'll carry anybody in his back. And yeah, you know, I think the Sixers team's good, but yeah, you just mentioned it. It's just been the Sixers just find a way every year to choke in the playoffs. And I think the same thing will probably happen this year. And, you know, I know Maxey's been really, really good. Obviously Embiid, when he's healthy, he's good, but yeah, can you trust him? And, you know, Tobias Harris is a nice shooter, but there's always a way that the Sixers just find a way to fall apart. And yeah, I know there's always that stigma with the Heat that they could just find a way every single year. That's a dangerous team, but yeah, I'd rather just play the Sixers because you just know they just had so many playoff woes over the years that the Knicks could take advantage of that.
Oh, absolutely. Exactly. I mean, I think both series are going to be they're going to go far. They're both going to be long series, but yeah, it's close. But I'd rather play the Sixers. I would rather play the Sixers in the first round. But we'll go circle back to the play-in tournament. We got the Hawks and the Bulls tonight in the 9-10 game. Probably one of the least watched NBA playoff games of the season. But I think it's a close game. But I'm going to take the team with a little more depth with Kobe White and DeMar DeRozan. I think Levine back for them?
Levine's out.
Oh, Levine's out, but I'll still take the home team here. I just don't like the way the Hawks have played this year. Really, outside of Young and Murray, they really haven't played well. But yeah, I'm gonna go with the Bulls here. I'm gonna go with the Bulls close, and I think that's gonna set up a rematch. I think it's gonna set up a rematch between the Heat and the Bulls. Remember last year when they played, and the Bulls had the lead, and the Heat came back and then took that momentum over to the finals. I think it's gonna set up a rematch this year in Miami between the Heat and the Bulls.
I'm gonna go the other way. I got Atlanta in this one. I know they've looked awful the last kind of week and a half. They lost six straight, but I think Trae Young and Dejounte Murray have a pretty good game against a Bulls team that, yes, kind of is banged up as well. But I think Atlanta offensively does a pretty good job against a weak Bulls defense, and I know Atlanta's defense is pathetic as well. But I think Bogdanović has a really good game. I think he puts up 20-plus points in this one. And I do think Trae Young, I know coming back from that thumb injury, they've been kind of limited. He's been on more of a minutes restriction. But I think he's kind of fully ready to go tonight. And I expect him to have a really good game. And I expect him to knock off Chicago, and they meet the Heat on Friday night.
Wow, it should be interesting. It should be interesting. So you got the Hawks facing the Heat. I got the Bulls facing the Heat. And obviously we got your Kings against the Pelicans on Friday night. Both elimination games in the play-in tournament. But we'll get to the last two matchups of these playoffs, and we got to start with the Bucks and the Pacers. And the big question in this series is how much are the Bucks going to miss Giannis early in the season? We don't know how long he's going to be out for. He's going to be out at the start of the series. I think it definitely could affect him. I definitely could affect him, especially with Siakam and Haliburton. We saw this in the play-in tournament. You saw during the year the Pacers have had the Bucks number this season. I would not be surprised if they beat him, but I just think especially Haliburton's lack of playoff experience is going to hurt a little bit. I think this series is a really good series. I do think Giannis comes back in the middle of the series, and that's what I think makes the difference. And that's why, I picked the Bucks to go to the finals. I'm kind of out on them now. I don't like the way Doc is. I don't like the fact they fired Adrian Griffin and brought Doc in. I didn't like that. So I'm still going to go with the Bucks here in seven. But the big question is how much is this Giannis injury going to impact the series?
I think it's got a big impact, and I get the Pacers in six.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. You get the Pacers in six. Pacers could be dangerous with Haliburton. The Pacers could be a dangerous team.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, I think Giannis, you saw last year just the way losing him in the playoffs against Miami kind of hurt this team, and I just don't think the Bucks. I'm like, the Bucks were 1-4 against the Pacers this year. It's just a bad matchup because the Pacers are so good offensively, and the Bucks play zero defense. And you know, I know Doc Rivers was kind of saying we've gotten a little bit better since I came in, and
Come on. Doc Rivers, they've not gotten better since he's came in.
Yeah, according to him, he thought defense was playing better under him. I think they're under 500 as him as a coach.
That's if crazy. I did the math with Giannis and Lillard, you're under 500. That's crazy. But that's what happens when you have your third coach in like less than a year.
Yeah, it does not help, but it has not helped that team. And again, I just think in this series, I think Haliburton, he hasn't had a lot of plays with success, but I don't think that bothers him. I just think he's the type of guy that when that moment comes, he's gonna shine. And I think now that kind of the full American, NBA audience is be able to kind of watch him a lot of national TV games. I think he's going to go off, and I think with Siakam, Andrew Nembhard, I think this Pacers team is too much offensively, and I just don't think the Bucks defensively make enough stops. And I know the Pacers aren't great on that end of the floor either, but I think they make a little bit more stops than the Bucks. Like again, Drew Holiday was such a huge loss to this team for their perimeter defense, and I think the Pacers exposed that in the series.
Yeah, I could see the Pacers winning it. I think the Bucks went close because I picked them to go to the finals at the beginning of the season. And listen, at the end of the year, I think I'm off that. I'm probably off it just because of Giannis's injury. I'm probably going to go with the Celtics and Nuggets in the finals. But it's going to be tough early on for the Bucks. I just think though, if Giannis comes back and the series is close, I think their experience is going to take over in that series. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Pacers win. I'd be surprised if the Pacers, they're playing the Celtics, just like in the play-in tournament. They play the Celtics in the conference finals. I know they're the sixth seed, but the Knicks are definitely beatable. The Sixers are beatable. So I wouldn't be surprised if this Pacers team gets to the conference finals.
No, I wouldn't either. I could see them knocking off either the Knicks or whoever they get out of the playing game tonight, the Sixers, the Heat. because they're just so tough to guard, and they're just offensively, they do have a kind of a lot of weapons where it is tough to kind of pick one out who to guard every night. And they do have guys who, you know, you try to double Halbert, and they do have guys that can knock down shots like an Aaron Sneesmith, and even like a Doug. I know Doug McDermott plays a lot, but Doug McDermott's a guy too that can kind of knock down some three pointers when he's open. So I think this Pacers team's got a ton of weapons, and the way their style too, of they love to get up and down, and in a 7-game series. You know, a team maybe like the Knicks that don't have a ton of depth, and where Thibodeau loves to play starters 40 minutes, maybe in the end of a 6-7-game series, you know, their legs kind of get tired defensively for the Knicks. And yeah, I could see the Pacers knocking off. I wouldn't be shocked either to see the Pacers make a run.
No, I wouldn't either. And the Bucks, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough without Giannis, but we'll see what happens there. But we'll wrap up talking about the Magic and the Cavs. Let me tell you one thing. If the Celtics are actually going to have a tougher, they're going to have a tougher first-round series than a second-round series, because I don't think either of these teams are getting past the second round. I don't even care if one of these teams – I wouldn't care if, like, Miami – say Miami upsets Boston somehow and plays one of these two teams. I think Miami's beating them. I don't like either of these teams outside of this series. But I think that the Cavs' experience will be what takes over here, especially Donovan Mitchell. I know Donovan Mitchell's not that good in the playoffs. He has struggled in the postseason. I saw it last year against the Knicks. He has struggled in the postseason, but I think they got to be. I know the Magic have had a really good year. Paolo is a potential star in this league, but I think the Magic are, you know, they played over their heads this year. They really did, and I think pretty much everything from here on out is gravy for them. So they are going in the right direction with Paolo and Wagner. They definitely are. But I think this year, I think Donovan Mitchell is going to be too much. I am going to give the Magic a couple games because if Mitchell struggles in the playoffs, I am going to give the Magic a couple games, but I do think ultimately the Cavs win the series, and they win it in 6 games. I got the Cavs in 6, and I think it's gonna be a pretty easy series for the Celtics if they can get past Miami or Philly in the first round.
I'm gonna go opposite of you again. I got the Orlando Magic.
Oh, you like the Magic? Wow.
Yeah, I don't trust this Cavs team.
Oh, you just don't trust the Cavs?
Yeah, and I think Orlando, they have the same blueprint as the Knicks did last year when the Cavs got lost in 5 games. I think because of the way they play defense, you know, the Magic are 5th in the NBA in steals, they're 8th in deflection, 2nd in opponent turnover percentage, and second in points scored off turnovers, and seconds in allowed points per possession. Like, I just think it's very similar to the Knicks last year, and I think Orlando's got that recipe, and I think they got enough offensive talent. You know, Jalen Suggs are a really good defender. You know, Gary Harris, a guy who can knock down shots. Cole Anthony can knock down some perimeter jumpers. You know, Wagner's really good. Paolo Banchero, he's been awesome since coming in the league. And right now with the Cavs, I know Garland's like a game time decision. LeVert, like the Cavs got some guys who are game time decisions right now, which worries me a little bit. But I just think Orlando, that they got the same blueprint that the Knicks did last year for Cleveland. And Cleveland looked so bad last year. That team looked like they shouldn't even been sniffing a playoff appearance with the Knicks did to them. So I'm going to take Orlando. Again, young, spunky. You said it. They have nothing to lose. I think the Cavs had a ton of pressure to win this series. So I'm going to take Orlando.
Oh, yeah. It should be a good series. Should be a really a good series for both teams. And it should be a good series. But yeah, but I just think the Cavs have too much experience. I know you like Orlando, but the Cavs, I just think the Cavs have too much experience. But before we wrap up, I think we're going to talk about the Celtics here and them being the best team in the Eastern Conference. And last year they were this close to the finals. They got to the finals the year before. The big question is how big of a disappointment would it be if the Celtics don't make the finals? And I think it would be a big disappointment seeing what's happened in the East this year, seeing that the East is not even close to as good as the West is, seeing the Bucks have underachieved, seeing that the Heat have underachieved, seeing that some of the teams that were expected to be really good have underachieved. I think it would be a big disappointment for the Celtics if they don't make the finals.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been on cruise control here for a month, and they've been by far the best team in the Eastern Conference. And the way kind of Milwaukee's kind of just on, you know, how things have unraveled there with their defense this year and the coaching situation there, I think it would be. And I've said this for a couple of months. I think you've agreed with me. I think the Knicks are their toughest opponent in the Eastern Conference. And no disrespect to the Knicks, but like, I think the Knicks are a really good team. I don't think they're on the level of Boston. And I think, you know, the Celtics should take care of business against the Knicks, but, I know the Knicks have been a couple times. It would be very disappointing with how good the Celtics team's been, but I do worry a little bit. They've been on cruise control for a month. Now you kind of got to get amped up and back in the playoff mode here. So that might be a little bit interesting. You know, if you play Heat and, you know, you do find yourself 1-1 going down to Miami for a game three, could be tough. But the only thing I worry about is they do rely way too much on the three for my liking. That's the one and I know in a 7-game series, it's a little bit easier to rely on that than a one game like in college basketball, but you live and die by the three. Sometimes that could come back to bite you. So that's the one thing I worry about, but it'd be very disappointing. And there should be a coaching change to this Boston team. Just not making
coaching. I think Mazzulla's done a good job. I think Mazzulla's done a real, I wouldn't say coaching change. I'd be disappointing, but I wouldn't go that far and say coaching change. And to your point with the Knicks, yeah, I think if you were drafting a team, you probably would take Tatum 1, Brunson 2, Jaylen Brown 3. So, two of the top three players would be on this. You could even argue three of the top four players would probably be, maybe even Porzingis 4. So you would argue three of the top four players would be on the Celtics. So yeah, if they played the Knicks, it's going to hurt. That's going to be a series going to hurt them not having Randle in that series. So yeah, it's going to be a very tough series. It would be a very tough series for the Knicks to win. But I do think the conference finals is very makeable for the Knicks. But yeah, but I think the toughest series for the Celtics in the Eastern Conference might be if they get Miami. They get Miami in that first round. We've known Miami gave them a lot of trouble in 2022 when they beat them in 7 in Miami. And then we all know what happened last year. They jumped up 3-0 on them, and then the Celtics won 3 straight. But then Miami won Game 7 in their building. So I think that might be, if they play Miami, that might be their toughest series.
Yeah, I totally agree. It definitely could be if that Miami team and Jimmy Butler and that team kind of gels and figures it out, and they get a Terry Rozier healthy. Then yeah, I could totally see the Miami going down to the wire and giving them a 6-7 game series. I could totally see that. And the other thing for Boston I forgot to bring up too is I don't trust Tatum or Brown at the end of the game with the ball.
That's a great point. That is a great point. It's going to hurt them when they get to the finals against the Nuggets. That's why they haven't beaten the Nuggets this year. And that's a great point. Tatum and Brown are not good closers. Tatum is a top 10 player in the league, but the reason he's not a top 5 player is he's not a closer.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's been the one knock against him. And he's always brought up the Kobe thing. Like, I want to be Kobe and, you know, I want to be this next star, but like, he hasn't had that in him yet. And this would be the year where Boston is, you know, the big overwhelming favorite in the Eastern Conference. It would be the year where in a big, you know, game 1-7 in a big spot with like a minute left, they hit a couple shots down the stretch. It'd be huge for him to get into that conversation because, yeah, he's an unbelievable basketball player and he's one of the best players in the sport. But, yes, it's been the end of game situations where he has not gotten it done yet. And it's huge for him. And this is the year where he's got to get it.
Oh, he has, especially the Eastern Conference. He's got to get to the finals. If he's not in the NBA Finals, I don't want to hear from any Celtic fan. Any Celtic fan, he's a top 5 player. I don't want to hear from any Celtic fan, he's a top 5 player. He can't get to the finals. All right, they lose to Denver. Denver's a great team. Maybe you can make that argument. They lose. They're not playing it in June in the NBA Finals. I don't want to hear anything about Tatum being a top 5 player. This is a lot of. I think he has the most pressure of anyone in the postseason this year to win a championship, even more than Durant, because Durant has won 2 rings. So I think he might have more pressure than anyone to win it. And I think we talked about this in the offseason. Who has the most pressure to win a championship? I think it's Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I would agree, because that Boston market too. There's a lot of pressure on that Celtics team.
You're competing with Larry Bird. You're competing with guys like Larry Bird. And in Boston, and you got other athletes like Tom Brady and David Ortiz and Bobby Orr. So there's a lot of pressure on Jason Tatum. He wants to be an all-time great Celtic. He's got to bring home banner number 18.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got it. This is the year where I know. Again, I think I'd take the Nuggets against the Celtics in a finals, but they'd have a good shot to win that series. Though, like, they have to get to the finals this year. Because, yeah, it'd be a huge disappointment for them. And, yeah, for Tatum and his legacy, he's got to get there. And he's getting close to a contract extension, Brown got 60 a year, something like that.
Tatum's got to get more than that. He's going to want more than he should get more because he's a better player than
he should. Yeah, absolutely, and he should. But, man, that's a lot of money to give up to two guys right there. That's, you know, that's a lot. That's a huge asking price. So, yeah, it's huge for Jason Tatum and that team. And kind of switching gears for a minute, Woj just announced that Zion's going to be out Friday night with the left hamstring injury, so he will not play Friday night against the Kings.
Gotcha. So before we get to the baseball, you still don't have confidence in your Kings without Zion. Without Zion, you still don't have confidence in your Kings.
No, because Trey Murphy's probably going to start. Trey Murphy already destroyed us. You saw that a couple weeks ago. I don't trust him.
I know Zion is not a, you know, Zion's a, I mean, arguably top 15, maybe top 20. I know he's not a top 10 player because he can't shoot a three or he can't stay healthy. But with Brandon Ingram, I think De'Aaron Fox, I think Zabonis, I think Fox gets it done. He's the best player on the floor. I know they're in New Orleans, but he's the best player on the floor. And they're without their best player. So you still don't have confidence in your Kings for some reason.
No, I don't. The one thing that worries me about Sabonis' game is Jonas Valanciunas. Valanciunas. He's very physical. Sabonis does not like the physicality like that at times. He'll complain a lot. That also worries me if he lies down in this game. And there's times he's not very aggressive with the basketball. In moments where he needs to be in the fourth quarter where he just passes the basketball when he should be going up for a shot. But that also worries me. Yeah, it's last year. I bought in that team and they let me down. And I think I'm more afraid of this team letting me down again. So I'm not getting my hopes up. I think that's what it is with this team.
Really? Wow. And, you know, starting to talk about teams that let us down. The Yankees right now, losing three in a row, could be letting us down a little bit after, you know, they gave us that really, really nice start. But before we talk about them, we're going to hear from our friends at JPEG Financial and Shamrock Home Inspections.
Do you have a 401k and some savings for future retirement, but don't even know if it's enough to live off of? How much is enough? How often are you thinking about it? The team at JPEG's Financial Group can help set your mind at ease. We specialize in creating strategies in the planning and managing of your financial, educational, and investment needs. We help clients pursue their investment goals with sound financial strategies. You deserve a personal, tailored plan. Lasting, meaningful, and open relationships are the foundation of our practice. You've worked hard for your money and should feel confident in your investment choices as you make decisions for your financial future. Your goals are our goals. We are dedicated to your needs and hopes for your future. Visit our website and give us a call at 860-430-5397. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. JPEG Financial Group, LLC is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services. JPEG Financial Group is located at 78 Eastern Boulevard, Glastonbury, Connecticut.
There's no bigger investment than home ownership. And to make sure the house is up to your standards, you need a professional to look it over. Brian Flanagan from Shamrock Home Inspections is a licensed home inspector and a member of the Connecticut Association of Home Inspectors. Brian was a contractor for over 15 years, so he knows how homes should be constructed and how mechanicals should work.
What makes me a good home inspector was the 20 years that I was a home improvement person doing all the different repairs that I have done and what other people have done wrong that I had to go out and fix. So I have a pretty quick eye on seeing what's right and what's wrong. Before you move, call Shamrock Home Inspections.
Before you make the biggest investment of your life, call Brian Flanagan from Shamrock Home Inspections at 860-268-2566 or visit shamrockhomeinspectionct.com.
All righty, so the Yankees still in first, but even though we've lost three in a row, they're still in first place at 12-6. Got off to a hot start, started off 12-3, but they've lost their last three games. Sunday to the Guardians, and then the last two to the Blue Jays. But I think looking at the positive first, I think, you know, Juan Soto has been outstanding so far at that home run on Saturday night. How about Anthony Volpe? And let me tell you something, Aaron Boone, okay? when DJ LeMahieu comes back, he better be in the leadoff. I love him in the leadoff spot. I want him in the leadoff spot. I know you want to say something about it, but I know I love him being in the leadoff spot. What do you want to say about it?
I was going to say, I think Boone said yesterday or Monday that when LeMahieu comes back, it was not guaranteed that he's going to bat leadoff. It sounded like Volpe's going to have that spot.
He better have that spot. He's hitting over 300. Yeah. He's hitting over 300. He's a younger player. What has DJ LeMahieu done since 2020 to warrant hitting leadoff? He's been an average player since 2021. There's no way. And I'm going to tell you something about DJ LeMahieu if he comes back. There better be a platoon with him and Cabrera. I want a platoon because Oswaldo Cabrera, he's second in RBIs for this team with 13. You see some of the big hits he had in the Astro series, the first series of the year. You saw some of the big hits he had. You saw some hits he had last series too. So I were on a platoon with him and LeMahieu when they come back. But Volpe better not be out of this leadoff spot if when LeMahieu comes back.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I agree. He's been really good. I know last night he had a rough night, but I think he took the golden sombrero last night, but the four strikeouts. But yeah,
it's one game.
Yeah, it's one game. I know. But yeah, he's been awesome. I love his approach this year. And again, you've seen it with the stolen base too. You know, he's a guy that could steal a couple of bases for you as well. And you know, when you got a guy like Soto behind you, and Judge, I know has been struggling, but we'll probably get to him. And you know, with the guys you got behind him, if Volpe can get a single, steal a base or two, and he's on third base with maybe one out, it puts a lot of pressure right on the pitcher right in that first inning. So, yeah, the offense is kind of starting to cool down a bit. But, yeah, Volpe's been awesome. He's had a great second year, and his approach has been a lot better.
Huge hit on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, the bullpen gave that one up. But huge hit on Sunday to tie that game. And who got on base? Cabrera. He got on base, too. So, huge hit on Sunday for Anthony Volpe. Now, we'll talk about, the middle of the order guys for the Yankees with Judge, Stanton, and Rizzo. And I know Rizzo and Stan have been okay. Judge has struggled. He did that home run on Sunday, but Judge has struggled. Who do you have the most confidence in to break out of it? Who do you have the most confidence in to kind of emerge and play like Soto and Volpe right now? Which one of those three guys do you think is gonna turn things around? I know Stanton's not been horrible, and I know that Rizzo's not been horrible too. But which guy do you think turns it around? I still got to say Judge.
I'm with you with Judge, and I'm hoping it's just the lack of spring training at bats because of that injury, and he's still just a little bit behind. And the Blue Jays are pitching Kevin Gausman today, and Judge has four career homers against them. So hopefully, maybe today's the day. In the past he's seen Gausman well, so hopefully today's that day he breaks out. But yeah, I'm still with Judge. I think he's one of the best players, one of the most feared players when he's in that box. And I just think the lack of spring training at bats, I think is a problem right now. I'm still not too concerned about him. Again, maybe another 2 weeks if he's struggling like this, maybe there's a little bit concern, but I think he'll get it going sooner rather than later.
Now, going to the starting pitching, I mean, I think that Stroman's been pretty good. I think Clark Schmidt and Rondon's been pretty good. The only guy I got concerned about is Nestor. I mean, he gave him a 3-0 lead, and he can't even last more than five innings on Sunday. He didn't pitch that well in the opener against the Astros. He didn't pitch well. He had that great start against the Marlins, but he didn't pitch that well that one start against the Diamondbacks that they lost 7-0. So I'm a little bit concerned about that. My concern is with Nestor. I think the rotation is okay, but in this losing streak, though, the common theme has, and Nestor started on Sunday, not getting good starts from Nestor, from Heal, and then last night from Rondon. Really not getting good starts in the rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. Nestor, he's always kind of got a nibble because he doesn't have that velocity that kind of blows you away. So, yeah, at times I think, if he misses his spot, he's going to get hit. And, he's not a guy that, doesn't walk a ton of guys, but, But he can't come into the zone or he's going to get hit pretty hard. And, the Guardians had some good at-bats against him Sunday. So, yeah, for Nestor, he's got to get going. Luis Hill's been good too. But, again, he throws hard and he's got good stuff. But, man, when you don't have control, that's a problem. And he walked seven guys the other day. I think it was against the Blue Jays. I love his stuff, but he's kind of got some control issues. And hopefully he can figure that out. But, yeah, Rondon wasn't the best start last night. He threw a lot. I think he threw 98 pitches in four innings, which isn't great, but the rotation hasn't been horrible. The last couple of days haven't been great, but they kind of need they need Stroman today to go six, seven innings to give some of that bullpen a rest here. I know tomorrow's an off day, but you would love to try to get them close to two off days here.
And talking about today's game, I think they pull it out. I do think they avoid the sweep. I think they pull it out, and I think they take 2 out of 3 against Tampa. I do think they take 2 out of 3 against Tampa because Tampa and Toronto are kind of you know, they're fringe playoff teams. Baltimore, I think, honestly, even though the Yankees are ahead by half game, Baltimore's the best team in the division. I think Baltimore is going to win the division, but I do think Toronto, Tampa are kind of fringe playoff teams. But I do think the Yankees take care of business today, and I think they take 2 out of 3 against the Rays this weekend.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they do get today. They rocked up Gausman the first meeting on the 6th of April, and Gausman's really had a tough start this year. I know he's a pretty good pitcher, and probably figure it out at some point. But I do think the Yankees get out of it today with a win, and I think they do end the road trip with a victory. And yeah, I think they should take 2 out of 3 from Tampa. The Rays survived last night. They put a wild one against the Angels, 13-14 in the game. But the Yankees should take 2 out of 3 at home. Last year, they started to play better against Tampa Bay. Yeah, it's an average Rays team. I don't think they're anything special this year. There's so many pitching injuries already. So, yeah, I expect the Yankees to win 2 out of 3 this weekend at home.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And now wrapping up, we'll wrap up talking about the Red Sox. Red Sox kind of coming down to earth, 9-9, last place in the division. And let me tell you, they can't get Devers going. This team's going to be really bad if Devers can't get going. Pitching has been good so far. One issue with this team has been the bullpen giving up leads, especially in these home games. Gave up a couple leads to Baltimore. They gave up a lead, I think, last night to Cleveland. I mean, they've been giving up leads in the bullpen. This offense has been very, very hit or miss. I think O'Neill got off the hot start. Cassis has been pretty good, but outside of that, and Duran's been played well, but really outside of this offense been hit or miss. This just isn't a good team. I think this is going to be. I don't think this pitching. It might be better than we think it was going to be, but I don't think it's going to hold up. I think this is a team, and as I said. Can the Red Sox stay in until the trade deadline? I think with the way they've been playing recently, I know they started 7-3, but with them losing, six of their last, I think it's six of their last eight games, or six of their last eight.
Yeah.
I just don't see this team really staying in it. I really don't. They really need to pick it up. This team really needs to start picking it up offensively. Bullpen's got to be better. I like the rotation. Rotation's been good, but this is not a rotation that's going to carry you all year. Lineup's got to start picking it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Devers off to a rough start. He had the shoulder injury right at the start, missed this weekend because he re-aggravated, and then left the game last night with left knee discomfort. I think they were going to do some stuff this afternoon, so I haven't seen anything yet on him. But, if he can't get going, which he really hasn't yet, and Jansen last night got a blown save, he hasn't been great this year either. The velocity's at 95-96, but something's just kind of been a tick off with him this year. But yeah, O'Neill got the hot start. Then him and Devers collided on Monday.
Yeah, Patriots. Did you work that game on Patriots Day?
I did not. No, I wish. That was a 2-hour game. That was a quick
one. I know. That's what you want. You want these quick baseball games.
Yeah. Yeah. We will love it. I had Sundays, which was like 4 hours or 3.5. That was a long one. But for the Sox, Whitlock, it sounded like just precautionary. He left the other day with oblique because he's looked good, but. Yeah, the bullpen hasn't been great. That was kind of the big glaring issue with this team was their bullpen, and it hasn't been great so far this year. And Brendan Bernardino, he's probably been their best bullpen arm, but for whatever reason, they started the year at AAA, and they called him up right the second series of the year, I think, right around. So for whatever reason, they started him down there, and he's been a pleasant surprise yet again because he did pretty well last year. So, yeah, for this Sox team, they got to get Devers going. I don't know what it is, and he's been a guy that's been able to stay on the field, but this year just hasn't, for whatever reason early on, he's really struggled to stay on the field, unfortunately, for them. But, yeah, they need that big bat in that middle of the lineup, and he just hasn't been able to provide that yet.
Yeah, if he's not on this year, this team is going nowhere. But that is going to wrap it up on Sports Talk with R&J. For Justin D'Onofrio, I'm Steve Risser. We will be back next week doing our annual. We're always doing a mock draft. We'll be doing our annual mock draft and talking more about the NBA playoffs and the Rangers and Bruins in the NHL playoffs. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Hello, my name is Joe Aguirre. I'm the president of Clovercrest Media Group. And here at CMG, we have a wide variety of podcasts, including sports shows like Keys to the City, The Roll Call, Throwing Jabs, All Four Downs, and Jawing About the G-Man. And great true crime shows like Sticky Meat, Crimes and Consequences, Ivy League Murders, and Bird, the Unsolved Murder of David Eichmann. You can find all these podcasts and so much more by visiting clovercrestmedia.com.